Yes, good morning once again, and welcome to Daily Inspiration. My name is Jody, and I'll be speaking with you the remainder of this week here, Lord willing. And I just want to give you a welcome this morning and hope that you're finding God faithful in your life and being blessed as you seek first His kingdom and look to Him. I trust that that God is doing good things in your life. And I'd like to continue to share with you. We have been talking about a good name. We read in Proverbs 22:1 that talks about how a good name is to be greatly desired. And we talked about some of the characteristics of having a good name, some of the things that would come with that. And we kind of focused on a little bit keeping of our word or keeping a promise, making sure that our word is good. And I'd like to continue on that theme just a little bit. But I would like to use some biblical examples here as we go through this and see if we can find some applications for us today in keeping our word, keeping our promises. We had talked a little bit about some marriage vows, and for those that are married, we know that we've spoken some things there that are some pretty lofty words, I guess you could say, and some things that we've probably made some promises there and maybe elsewhere too, that God's our witness there, and we need to be cautious there that we would come through with the words that we say and be careful to observe the things that we speak with our mouth. And I do believe God will hold us accountable, and He'll bring all these things before us. And so we need to keep a good account with God and be careful to do the things that we speak about doing with what we speak with our mouth. We want to be truthful and honest. And we want to keep our word. Well, this morning I'd like to look at Joshua in the Old Testament. We remember Joshua was taken over after Moses had died. Joshua had become the leader of the Israelites. And we know the story, and that you can go back and read it, and I encourage you to do that. I think you'd be very blessed to just reread this whole story. But I just want to hit on a few things here. And want to talk about a promise that was made with Joshua and the people of Israel with a people called the Gibeonites. And I'll just kind of give you a little review. Joshua and the Israelites, they had already crossed the Jordan River. They're entering into the promised land, and God had given to them Jericho, which was a very fortified city, and God had given Joshua and the Israelites victory over Jericho, as I'm sure you well know and remember the story. And then there was the next city was Ai, and again you can read that and find out some of the difficulties they had, but Joshua ends up taking Ai as well eventually. And so now we have a group of people called Gibeonites. They are somewhat concerned about what they've been hearing and seeing, and so I'd just like to read to you a little bit out of the book of Joshua. Will be in chapter 9, and I'd like to start in verse 3 of Joshua chapter 9. And when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard that what Joshua had done at Jericho and to Ai, they did work willingly and went and made as if they had been ambassadors, and took old sacks upon their asses and wine bottles, old and rent and bound up, and old shoes and clouted upon their feet, and old garments upon them, and all the bread of their provision was dry and moldy. And they went to Joshua unto the camp at Gilgal, and said unto him and to the men of Israel, We be come from a far country. Hivites, adventure ye dwell among us, and how shall we make a league with you? And they said unto Joshua, We are thy servants. Then Joshua said unto them, Who are ye? And from whence come ye? And they said unto him, From a very far country, Thy servants are come, because of the name of the Lord thy God, for we have heard the fame of him, and all that he did in Egypt, and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites that were before Jordan, to Sihon, king of Heshbon, and to Og, king of Bashan, which was at Ashtaroth. Wherefore our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spake to us, saying, Take victuals with you for your journey, and go to meet them, and say to them, We are your servants, therefore now make ye a league with us. This is our bread we took hot for our provision out of the houses on the day we came forth to go unto you. But now, behold, it is dry, and it is moldy. And these bottles of wine which were filled were new, and behold, they are rent. And these our garments and our shoes are become old by reason of a very long journey. And the men took of their victuals, and asked not counsel of the mouth of the Lord. And Joshua made peace with them, and made a league with them, and let them live. And the princes of the congregation swear unto them. Then I'd like to skip down to verse 18 here in the same chapter. It says, And the children of Israel smote them not, because the princes of the congregation had sworn unto them by the Lord God of Israel. And all the congregation murmured against the princes. But all the princes said unto the congregation, We have sworn unto them by the Lord God of Israel. Now therefore we may not touch them. What happened is Joshua and the Israelites had found out that these people had tricked them. And now they were in a bad way, because they couldn't harm them in any way. They had made a covenant with them. They made a vow. And so now here they found themselves in a very good predicament here. And as you notice here, they said, we can't do anything to them. We've made them a promise. We said we would do them no harm. And that word meant very much. It was before the Lord. They made this agreement. It was before the Lord. They were making it to the Gibeonites, but God was their witness. And you can see the importance here that they saw in this vow that they made. They weren't willing to raise their hand against the Gibeonites. And so now we see here, as we read there, that the mistake they made was they didn't seek the counsel of the Lord. That was a big mistake, but that's a whole other subject. Right now we're just talking about some of the things that we say with our mouth and God holds us responsible for. So here we are. Here's Joshua in the army of Israel, and they can't touch the Gibeonites. It was a big mistake, but they had to live with it now. And so now what I'd like to do, there's a whole lot of history that happens here, but we're going to move the calendar ahead approximately 400 years. Okay, and now David is king over Israel. And we'll read a little bit about King David. And this is interesting, because it ties into the Gibeonites, which you'll soon see here. Then there was a famine in year after year, and David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered, It is for Saul and for his bloody house, because he slew the Gibeonites. And the king called the Gibeonites and said unto them, Now the Gibeonites were not of the children of Israel, but of the remnant of the Amorites, and the children of Israel had sworn unto them. And Saul sought to slay them in his zeal to the children of Israel and Judah. Wherefore David said unto the Gibeonites, What shall I do for you, and wherewith shall I make the atonement, that you may bless the inheritance of the Lord? And the Gibeonites said unto him, We will have no silver nor gold of Saul, nor of his house, neither for us shalt thou kill any man in Israel. And he said, What you shall say, that will I do for you. And they answered the king, The man that consumed us, and that devised against us that we should be destroyed from remaining in any of the coasts of Israel, let seven of his sons be delivered unto us, and we will hang them up unto the Lord in Gibeah of Saul, whom the Lord did choose. And the king said, I will give them. And you see, David was experiencing a famine for 3 years, and David was asking of the Lord, what is the problem here? And God showed him clearly, there's a covenant that's been broken here. You have, or Saul actually had raised his hand against the Gibeonites, and now God was going to call them for it, and here it is, their word was broken. It had been broken, and God was seeing that it was a serious thing, and there was a famine in the land, and David cries out to God, and he explains to him what's going on. You see, our words are important to God, and even 400 years later, here's a people that had been Saul. King Saul had tried to take them out of the land there, and he caused harm to them, he killed some of them, and now God was upset and angry with Israel because they had broken this covenant, this vow that they had made. And so you see, I use that example to show us that it's important, the things that we say with our mouth. We need to be very careful that we don't say things and not plan to follow through. And even as you can see, this was a long time later. That word was still good because they made a promise to him. We're not going to lift our hand up to do you harm. So I see here, what I get out of this message is that we need to be cautious. You and I, we need to be very cautious. The things that come out of our mouths, we need to be sure that we don't set ourselves up for problems by making a snare with some of the words that we say with our mouths. We'll get caught in our own snare there. We see that to God, it's important when we say something that we need to follow through. I'd like to read just a couple of things that David, King David here, he has written in the Psalms. And so I'll just read you a couple things that I think that King David understood some of these principles here. And I'll just read to you out of Psalm 17 and verse 3. And it says, "Thou hast proved mine heart. Thou hast visited me in the night and shalt find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress." And then I'd like to read another one out of Psalm 19. And we'll be reading out of verse 14. And this again is a Psalm of David. And he said, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." And so I see the heart of David. I see he's a man. Of course, we know he had his struggles, but he was a very godly man. And he was a man of integrity, and he wasn't perfect, but he kept his word, and he was cautious here before the Lord. He wanted to make sure that he didn't transgress with his mouth. And let that be something that you and I can meditate on and take that to heart and ask God to help us to be cautious and be careful with the words we speak with our mouth, that it would not be displeasing to God, but that the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart would be acceptable in the sight of God. He is our strength and He's our Redeemer. So may that be something that you consider today, and that you might meditate on these things, and that God will give you the grace to speak wisely and to be full of integrity. That's my prayer for you, and it's my prayer for myself as well, that we would be an example in this way, that we'd be upright before the Lord our God. Well, I'll sign off for now, and Lord willing, we'll be back together tomorrow, and we'll continue on looking at some of these things. May God bless your day today.